Now entering Nerdist.com. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Hi.
Hello, live. Live audience, studio audience, flappers.
This is exciting. Sounds like there's more people than there are actually here. You guys are
Why ruin the illusion? Why ruin the illusion?
What illusion? That we're successful? There's no illusion. No one,
right, we're
who
the
has
only
that
ones.
Illusion.
We're just plugging along, you guys. Just like yourselves. Just like yourselves.
Oh, we're a working class comic podcast.
That's right. That's right. We're the comedy for the people. We're just
not many people, but the ones that there are, we are.
Right. So I watched your set. Did you watch mine?
I did.
Most of it.
I
took a lap, did you?
No, why are you insulting me right off the bat? I laughed a lot.
Because it sounded like you didn't. I just said, did you watch my set? And you were like, yeah.
And then I paused like I do between thoughts, and you jumped in like you do between thoughts and stopped me from talking. I did watch
that.
It, but I was also sort of going over what I just did.
Okay.
And coming and writing down topics of things to talk about on this thing.
But
I enjoyed your set. I like the flirting thing. That's really funny. Did you, that thing about standing, that's from another joke, right? Did you?
Oh, yeah.
You stole from yourself.
I did steal from myself. I will go to the vault in
you
the
might.
Middle of a new
no,
joke.
No, I think it fits so, better there.
Well, it's nice because it's important that there be some laughs in a new joke. I'm a huge fan of making sure that there's some entertainment in the middle of something new I'm working on.
Sure.
So, because the rest of it's just sentences. It's the tiniest of all TED Talks.
I like it.
It's just information. Oh, already with the yawning?
Yes.
What's happening?
All right. Oh, come on. It's 8:36. I'm exhausted.
We've been going at this for 30 minutes. So I have a couple of tags. Do you want them here? Do you want to keep the mystery?
No, give me your tags.
Okay.
I rarely take
other people's tags.
Right. Only because, and I feel the same when I give them too, here's how I do the joke.
Right.
And it's often not how the other comic would do the joke.
Right. And it's often coming from a place that doesn't have anything to do with why you're telling the joke.
Or a place of anger and hate. And your
enormous amount of rage. It's always important if you do stand up. Like I always say, whenever I offer anybody a tag, I'm like, take it, leave it, whatever.
Yeah.
The most famous tag I gave to Larry.
The cable guy?
Nope.
Larry Reed?
Nope. Keep going with the Larrys.
Larry Brown?
Oh, no. Larry Bubbles Brown?
Yeah.
No, but I know him. Anyway.
Larry Miller.
Larry Miller. It was Larry Miller.
No, you gave a tag to Larry Miller?
Larry Miller.
That's fucking ballsy.
It was 93. I didn't know any better.
Oh, 93 Miller needed tags. Trust me. He didn't. He was great.
Call
then.
Me Larry. And no, it was literally. He didn't, and literally, I didn't know how to give tags at
right.
the time. All I know is, whenever I gave tags at open mics, because I was just emceeing in Minneapolis at the time at the A clubs, and
drop that in. I gotcha.
Pardon me, let me pick that up. I used to work A clubs in the early 90s, you guys.
used to host at A rooms.
Exactly. 93, you guys. I was making very little. It's awesome. But whenever I would give tags to anybody, I always threw up both hands, and I still find myself doing it. I'm like, yeah, I just had an idea. Just take it, leave it, and then I'd back up and say the joke, and then, you want it, you don't want it. And the joke he was doing was such a new joke, it was topical. It was something about how there was a new Coast Guard base, and it was in a landlocked area.
Okay,
on the East Coast, and all I said was, "That's a hell of a portage, huh?" Which is a very Minnesota carry a canoe fucking over a thing.
What's a
joke?
What do you mean? A
portage? When you portage your boat over land to get to the next river. So if you're in the Navy, to get from a
landlocked
area...
Did he jump all over that universally beloved word?
I'll tell you this.
That every audience member will get.
Here's how it played out. He said, oh, can I? And I said, please. And then he probably only did it where anyone would fucking know what a portage was. And then, which was that night. No, he did it that night. Got a huge laugh.
Yeah.
And during that laugh, this is my payment that I got. He pointed at me.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So that was...
That's very cool. He's always seemed like a good guy.
He was a really nice guy. Yeah. He's still alive.
Something enraged me when you were talking.
Yes.
That's not about you. Is you were... You started comedy in 86?
84.
So in 93, 9 years in, you're hosting in
but remember,
your hometown.
I count, yeah.
I know, but I'm just saying now people are 9 years in and getting hours on Netflix.
Oh, right. That's just,
I know.
That's just jealousy.
It's hard for me to get over that.
I know. I have some issues with.
I know. But
we
good
didn't
for
even get the 15s, man. But, who do we talk to about getting the 15s?
I know that's damn.
I got 15, turns out. Netflix, you listening? What's anything?
No, they're not. They really aren't.
They seriously are not.
They aren't.
I didn't even know that I was supposed to be submitting to Comedy Central. Did you know?
For a half hour?
Yeah, for half hours. Did you know that we were supposed to be submitting?
No, well, I
got mine in 2003. They asked me. A girl likes to be asked. So
that's
nobody.
The process.
The process is
you
submit
want a half
30 minutes.
Do you want a half hour on Comedy Central or would you rather have Netflix?
Oh, Netflix. But
yeah.
I mean, but 10 years ago, I could have been submitting for the last 10 years.
Oh.
And I have not.
You hadn't had a single conversation with a comedian who mentioned submitting to Comedy Central?
No. Well, we know my brain is porous. So, and the portage from one part to the other is dodgy. And so, but yeah, I don't know. I did not know.
Okay.
Anyway, so here's the thing. You said you wanted your son to treat a woman like your iPhone?
Yes.
And so I came up with still use her after she's cracked.
All right, I'll try it.
Yeah. And
hold on.
And all of your finger guns are locked up?
Yeah.
In a Chinese yo-yo?
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, fuck.
You know what? You got greedy. The first one isn't bad, and there's something there. And then
right, the Chinese yo-yo. You're not unfamiliar with the
very
Chinese yo-yo. What is it called?
Chinese
finger trap. That's what it's called. Chinese finger trap.
Okay.
Yeah, the yo-yo is something else.
Or handcuffs. Yeah.
Or because you put two fingers in them, it's a woven piece of paper.
Right,
you can't get your fingers out. Anyway. It's an audio show, but luckily there's the 150
leave.
Of you. That guy knows how to start an applause break.
I know.
All
right. So I didn't have a tag, but I do want to say that the punchline when the punchline is when we were raped. That joke's got to fight real hard to get a laugh.
So did women. All I wanted to do was go to the bathroom. Who knew
that
I needed
joke
a spotter?
Was not born on third base. I tell you that. That joke needs a nice
a lot
setup.
Of work.
A lot of it needs to be surrounded by other jokes that are comforting and.
Rising bread dough?
Yes.
Just
sourdough jokes. Yes. All around it. Yes.
Just cozy jokes around
yes.
it. So that when I say women don't want to be raped, it can get the baha laugh.
Here's the thing. Like you can, in that it's technically, it's perfect. It's right. It's true. But it's some words, no matter what, it's really hard to get an LOL out of a word. You know, just a person
True.
Just feeling, having
you know,
that
you know what's funnier than rape?
Reaction.
Always funnier than rape is murder. Just going right to murder instead of rape. Because
people know what?
Always think about, you know.
Yes. Did you just see your Chinese finger trap?
I just
did. Jackie's writing a novel right now. She has to do
I'm writing notes so that Kyle, who is not here, can get
Here's
notes.
Here's the thing. The podcast is selling out right now as My Favorite Murder. It wouldn't be selling out as much if it was My Favorite Rape.
Right.
See? One out of 15 people laughed at that. That's why it's hard to end on rape.
That's because
always end on murder.
Grant hangs out with a lot of super dark comics, so he's going to laugh about rape. whenever it comes up, he's like, ha. And then silently we'll be guilty. And but yeah, it's so I was in Phoenix at the new Tom Sims club.
I want to work it. I'm excited.
And he wants to work with you.
We'll figure it out. It's a Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
It was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
That's the problem. I can't do Thursdays.
He's got five shows. But get this.
What?
He is... He's the Todd Glass of a club owner who's been open for 6 months. Super micromanaged. It's already in the black. It's already breaking even.
No.
But it seats 106.
Oh, that's so perfect.
It is in a mall that is like a city walk. It's a bar mall. Like a mall of bars.
Is it near the
Saint
comedy
Patrick's
spot?
Day. It is nowhere near anything. That is the other glorious thing
oh.
about it. It is in the middle of a giant, weird bar mall.
Right.
Like, it's just like there's a wing place and a Yard House. Remember the Yard House? That's a chain that you see and you say to yourself, what's happening? Where did that name even come from? What does it mean?
I don't know. I don't remember the Yard House.
Next
I'm
time
from
you go
San Francisco.
You're from Walnut Creek.
All of our houses are artisan.
yes.
We don't have chains in the Bay Area.
You have more chains.
I anyway, know. That used to be the attitude.
That used to be, though.
It was what's nice. McDonald's? Mm.
It's always funny whenever, like in Portland, Oregon, they're always talking about how they hate chains, but you see McDonald's everywhere, and you're like, someone's going there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can't tell me that it, you don't nobody likes chains when that's a Baskin Robbins. So anyway, so so
you are taking
the Phoenix,
down everybody left and right tonight.
Well,
look out, Portland.
Okay, so here's the Genevieve Rice,
yes,
emceed.
Yeah,
Kurt Fletcher featured. Kurt Fletcher is a story from a previous Jackie and Laurie. Remember when I told the story of the worst gig I ever did, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Russ Rivas?
Oh, yeah, when you guys were, the telemarketing was happening in the
condo. The iron was chained to the wall.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because somebody was stealing a $12 fucking iron.
Yeah.
I was like, who are you booking?
Well, and, wait, what are you paying?
Yeah, no, well,
that's
$7.
The question. When Russ Rivas is paying at $300 to feature, you're going to steal a fucking iron.
That's it. And just for the tax write off when you donate it to Goodwill. And so but I got a ride from the airport to the condo, and it was his wife telling me that if they didn't like me, they'd never bring me back.
Right,
that was
right.
my greeting. I get to the dumb condo. I get to the club. The MC is a kid who is the fry cook who accidentally misses introducing me to headline because he has to drop some chicken tenders. And and then Saturday I walk into the manager's office and she's making out with Russ Rivas, who's, if I remember correctly, I just said his wife was picking me up from the airport.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then they paid me with a check that I then pushed back at them and said, I'm going to need cash. And then they gave me cash.
Yeah.
And then I said, sometimes it doesn't work out. And I left and I refused. I was like, fuck these people. And,
okay, so Kurt Fletcher.
Kurt Fletcher featured for me this weekend. He was the fry cook. He was the kid he was the guy who was fry cooking. And I would have bet
intro.
Money, by the way, that that gig, that Albuquerque gig, happened in 1999.
Yeah.
He was like, no, it was 2005. I'm like, I was doing a shitty gig in 2005? Okay.
Dude, crack open last year's calendar.
Where's Laughlin? Oh, there it is. And
well, how were the shows?
The shows were good. It was real. It was Phoenix. It was suburbs. It was
It's very Republican there.
Right. They were a little grumpy about me and my kind.
Yeah.
But they were brought around. They were brought around. Thursday was a little uneven.
Yeah.
Because you know the first time you do a new club, and you don't know the audience, so you got to kind of figure out what they're like. As
you
a
don't
people.
Know the room, and also you don't know if the staff likes you. You know, they're all judging
so
you that first night. And
the
if you know they like
so
you, and they're going to be like, oh, this crowd sucks. You're like, good.
Yeah.
You're on my side.
Man.
Yeah, they do suck. It's not me.
I got there on Friday, and this guy came up to me, one of the waiters, and he was like, "You're so great." And I was like, "Oh, it's going to be okay."
Yeah.
And the rest of the week was, the rest of the weekend was great.
Yeah.
So it was five shows. So Tom was like, he figured out, because the room only seats 106. He's been open for 6 months. He's got these, you know how like Flappers here has those clicker lights if you need a waitress? He's got hand, like laser etched with the name Stir Crazy, the name of the club.
Yeah.
Because people get to name their own comedy clubs, you guys. And so it's laser.
That's your right as a club owner.
You get to name your comedy club. And he has a picture of Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder up on the wall because he loved that movie.
That's
which, by
great.
The way, doesn't hold up. And I'm so sorry.
Also, I hope I don't think either of them will be Me Too'd, but I hope.
Oh my God!
I mean, you can't commit to an old comic anymore.
He's got a bunch of old, and you know, he's been asking everybody, how do you like the room? How do you like the club? Do you have any suggestions? And I said, I wouldn't mind a little fewer, less old dudes. How about some old women?
And he has like vintage.
Yeah, he's got Robert Klein, and I mean he's got Seinfeld. Yeah. He's got Robin Williams, and he was like, he does have he loves Joan Rivers, so he's got two pictures of Joan Rivers.
Lucille Ball. No.
He's got crazy Magoo or Roseanne Barr.
Okay.
And he's got Rita Rudner.
She's a fucking great comic, even though she's bananas.
Yeah, she's lost her banana land license. Yes. But and then Rita Rudner's funny. But yeah. But he's got like 30 pictures up, and those are the only three women. And I was like, what about, like, I don't know, Paula Poundstone or
Kathleen Madigan?
Kathy Ladman, or I was thinking Wendy Liebman.
Yes, Wendy Liebman.
And because just some, if you like 80s,
Marcia
and 90s,
Warfield.
I don't. Yeah. So, I mean, but so he goes up to the pictures on the wall and he goes, the only problem is they're bolted. They're bolted to the walls now. And I didn't think of it at the time. And he would have laughed. But right after he walked away, I was like, so it's a patriarchy, man. Patriarch is also bolted to the walls.
Well, once there's a bolt in the wall, a contractor can't get it out.
No, there's no way of taking anything off the wall once it's been bolted
in
to the
Phoenix,
wall.
In Phoenix, the hammers don't have those little things at the back of you.
Daylight savings time. They also don't have a way to take off
I went to New York this weekend.
Oh, right. You're doing the stand. Did you read from your book, Dead People Suck?
Yes.
All right.
I have a few copies for sale if anyone wants to buy one.
And if you brought your copy, she'll sign it.
If you brought yours, I'll sign it. I did two at the stand. First of all, I took the JetBlue flight out of Burbank.
You're taking that sweet, sweet ride?
Horrific now.
Oh, it's horrific now.
All I can think about is the one time I flew
Mint.
You
took the Mint?
And I was like this, reclined the whole time. And I didn't even know I was flying. Like, the gentle wake up from the flight attendant when I landed at JFK, rested. Oh, it's fucking amazing.
That is amazing.
So now I'm sitting like this, you know, crouched, and I took a bunch of melatonin and I did Bikram yoga right beforehand, so I thought I'd be dead, and I was awake the whole time.
Just bottle of
I
Jack.
I just felt
next
awful.
Time, bottle of Jack. That's too bad.
Yeah. Well, I'm used to that. So I get...
Yes, you are used to suffering. It's true.
No, I'm used to feeling awful on that flight. I get nauseous. I'm just like, oh, it's this again. Okay. So I get to the apartment at 7 a.m. and, I took more melatonin and I slept till 4 in the afternoon.
Oh, nice.
And I'm still proud of it. I'm still like, I slept for 9 hours.
That's awesome.
It fucking ruined my sleep for the rest of the, I'm fucked over till Friday, I'm sure. But I felt so good when I woke up.
Aren't you going to Portland this week?
Yes, I am. I'll be in Portland this weekend.
Right. So this will drop and you will have already been in Portland. But
right.
So what, because this is for next, the one that came out today.
Done with my sleeping story.
Really?
Stop trying to move things along. I took a fucking nap on Sunday I want to talk about.
How'd that nap go on Sunday?
It was sweet. No, I did two sets at the stand, like at 7:15 and 8:15. So I basically woke up at 4 and just, you know, just slowly got ready, went to the stand, And then I had a reading at QED in Astoria, and that and the trains are going that were going to Astoria were shut down, so I had to take a lift. It's like $29.
Well, there was no
but they
trains?
Just fucking do that. They shut the fucking trains down. It's awful.
What
now.
If you need to get to Queens?
You're fucked. I mean, you can take the 7, but if you're going to go a certain way, you yeah. know, the closest way, it was unavailable to people. But
or you had to take like certain, you could get there by train, but you would have to take like a big like sort of
yeah, it would take a
what
way
I like
longer.
To call a reach around and then go. That's not what it's called. And around.
All you of gotta... your references harken back to your slutty days in the 80s.
That I'm trying to create the illusion existed.
And
when it was mostly just blind drunkenness.
So QED, it was sold out, which is cool.
Now, oh, that's
it's a
awesome.
Small venue. It's not like Madison Square Garden. Or
is it anything like Stir Crazy? Is it like 100?
Possibly.
You don't, no, QED seats 100.
Yeah, it was cool. And then so I did some stand-up and then read a couple chapters. And
oh, that's awesome.
Sold a few at the end. And
had
then
the time
I went
of
back,
your life. Yeah.
Stayed up again, watched a bunch of This Is Us. Because my flight wasn't until 5:30 in the afternoon, so I'm like, I could sleep till
I saw the tweets
2:30.
About This Is Up. This Is Us.
Oh, yeah.
You were like, fuck your pet.
Yes.
That's what I remember
to the
tweet.
Where at the end of season 2, and turn it off if you haven't watched it yet, but they're in season 3, so I have no sympathy for you.
You're like, Elon Musk, go to a food bank.
Please no. don't. Please don't even bring him up.
Okay.
Do not summon the ghosts that
of
want
idiot
to,
trolls. Yes.
Want to love him. And,
but you, so you slept
so
good
Jack
all weekend.
Goes, he gets out of a fiery house. He gets his family out of a house, and then he goes back in for a fucking dog. Oh, I'm sorry. I feel
just
like there's animal lovers here.
Dead silence.
Do not go back for the animal. First of all, they're animals. They have twice as many legs as you do, so they should be able to get out of the fire anyway. Why are you going in there?
If I mentioned...
They sniffed that shit like 20 minutes before you did because they have sensitive noses. Any dog that's still in a fire deserves to die. That's what I say.
I'm in 113 hours of a friendship with this person. Have we established?
And I love dogs, but you can't.
But
you've got to see you
pick
get
a lane,
get the people out, and then then they're on their own.
I know it.
Thank you. Did you? Okay. So I was
I had
very
a set last night.
Oh, you, tell me about worked? It.
Okay, so I went to the improv.
Right.
And I was doing. I haven't had this in a while. A rage set. A set where I was just full of rage.
Why were you rageful?
Well, because it was lightly attended. It was the day after St. Patrick's Day,
yeah.
Sunday night, improv lab.
Right.
Lightly attended. Brian Vokey, really funny guy.
Yes.
And he kept going, I love that you've come, but I'm so mad that there's not more of you. And I was like, we've all done that. I
yeah.
have. And then the guy who went up after him also did that.
Yeah.
And then somebody else went up and just did their act. And then...
Thank God.
Right. And then
it's hard,
I...
It's hard to do that.
It's really hard
honestly,
to do it.
Honestly.
And it's a learned skill. And,
they need
and
it.
We all snap.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I know. It's hard not to snap.
So I had just gotten off a plane and I was exhausted.
Right.
And I showed up and it was lightly attended and I was grumpy about it too.
You went straight from the airport to the set?
No. I went from the airport to my house, dropped my stuff off and then to the set.
Okay. So you did get to see your kitchen floor
I
before
did get
you...
To see my beautiful kitchen.
I don't know
floor.
Why you're mad.
Me neither. Why? There was no reason. But what happened was, is I lost my shit on the sound guy.
Oh.
And so.
Well, good. It's always good to go after the person
yeah.
responsible.
Right. Exactly.
And it's his fault.
Right. This poor bastard, it was his first night, and he didn't do, it was entirely, and he kept apologizing to me, and I finally said, don't apologize to me because I'm being an asshole. And he was like, I'm really sorry. And I was like, stop. I was like, I'm being the, just give me my $10.
And it was $9.
I should have tipped it right back to him. That's what I should have done. I should have given it to me and I should have said, I'm so sorry.
By the way, I have checks from the Laugh Factory. You know, here's the thing with
what?
Laugh Factory is they pay $70 or something, right? But you can only collect them at the the Hollywood Laugh Factory. So sometimes I don't get booked for months there. And when I go there, I go, do I have any checks? And sometimes they're a couple months old anyway. And then one of them was not...
They expire.
Yeah, they do expire. One of them expired. And the other one's made out to not even close to my corporation name.
Is it Laura Bites? Is it made out to Laura Bites?
No,
instead of Lori Gilmartin?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Sometimes you exhaust me. There's no other way to say it.
You're not alone. You're not alone. I'm with you as well.
So now I've got like these two checks I have to get recut.
Oh, weird.
Oh, and then when I was at Comics and I didn't get the $400 check.
Yeah.
Because I left early. I just left immediately because I wanted to get on the road and get out of the casino because I felt like it was pulling me down into the darkness. Now I have to, they're treating it as a lost check. So now I have to get a paper notarized to get this $360.
Wow.
And it's, I'm like, ugh.
Just, yeah.
I mean, it's enough to go through all that.
Oh, yeah.
God dang it.
And I was so mad at the poor sound guy that I was like, I thought about walking, stomping away. And then.
Really?
I was like, yeah. And then I was like, no, I want the $10. And so I went back. I apologize to him. I feel like this is entirely my fault. I don't know what's happening. I can't. I'm not the hero of that story.
Are you sitting on some other rage you don't understand yet?
No, I understand. There's Nazis. So I have some rage, but I don't know.
Well, but that's external.
Right.
Because that's not going to affect you exactly. Because
I'm passing for white over here. Yeah.
Yes.
You're right.
So is there other stuff that they sort of push those buttons? Those buttons are already
No,
there.
He was slow at his job, which other people have been slow at their
I mean. I'm saying, is there something else inside Jackie that Jackie doesn't even know yet that's like...
Wow. When did you get a degree in psychology? What just happened? I don't know.
Yesterday.
I don't know. Yesterday. Oh, interesting.
I did, after one of my naps. I was given the gift of insight. Well, you know, this is an age where everything is shifting for us, and sometimes there's like new rage that you just weren't prepared for.
Well, somebody said to me, "Have you thought about taking hormones?" And I said, "Have you thought about shutting up?" And No.
Are you doing that as a joke?
No.
You should. That's a good joke.
Well, they all laughed, so it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, it's
true.
No where they were raped.
Right, it's no rape. Telling someone, but shut up isn't really the greatest punchline. That's not much of a twist.
But it's a twist because you're reacting in hormonal
full of rage. Right. It's a
nice little throwaway. You can set up a chunk. You don't have to hang your whole career on it.
I'm going to hang my career.
Just a little joke to get you in the door, man.
I'm middle-aged lady time. That's what I'm going to hang my career on. Do you want to do Comic of the Week?
Well, how much time have we done?
Oh, half an hour.
We have?
Yeah. We got up at 36. What is it now?
9:02.
More than that.
I think we got up at 35. I count every minute.
It's a real clock eater to talk about it.
Okay, let's... Our comic of the week is Laura Bites.
It's Laura Bites.
She just Laura did a
Bites.
Set.
She did a set opening
very
for this
funny.
Very live show. It's LaraBeitz. It's at Laura Bites.
Yes.
And
she's from your
from,
state.
She's from Wisconsin. She's from Wisconsin. She's from Milwaukee. She's a Chicago comic. At Laura Bites, Beitz, L-A-R-A. Laura.
How long was she in Chicago?
Hey, is Laura, how here? Long were you in Chicago?
3 years.
3 years.
Oh, wow. Did you start in Chicago? That's a great progression. You start in a smaller town, then you move to mid-size. Chicago.
It's adorable. Please call Chicago adorable. They hate it. They hate it with the power of the sun. And I love making fun of Chicago.
They're
so cute. Chicago's adorable.
Right. I'm sorry. She's going on a riff. I don't want to interrupt.
Where did you grow up in Milwaukee?
I said mid-size.
Yeah.
And then I almost said comedy until you decided to say adorable 7 times in a row. It's a mid-sized comedy town. Oh, my God. Yep. This is you sober. She's... You guys can't see she's throwing water bottles around like fucking Elizabeth Taylor on Cat in a Hot Tin Roof. But then you move to LA or New York, right? You don't. To me, that's the way I would do it if I were starting now. I wouldn't move to LA or New York first. I would go.
Do you consider San Francisco a mid-sized comedy town?
Yeah, but I wouldn't live there unless somehow you had housing. It's ridiculous.
Well, you'd have to.
It's, yeah.
What I did was I started in Madison, Wisconsin. Then I moved to Minneapolis, which is another sort of mid-sized city.
Yes.
Did stand up there for 6 years, and then I moved here because someone said, "Well, you got to try," and I was like, "Oh shit." All right, so
who said that to you? That sounds those are incredibly inspirational words.
Those incredible.
I want a refrigerator magnet.
A friend of mine who also wanted me out. A friend who was done being my friend. She's like, "Why don't you hit it?" And fair enough. But where did you go up in Milwaukee? Out in Fox Point.
Yeah.
There was a club.
Oh, where did I grow up?
Oh, you grew up in Fox Point.
Yeah.
There's a comic from back in the day that you don't know, Rachel Arieff.
She lives in Spain now.
She lives in Spain. She is from Fox Point. And she is in Spain. That's the end. I got a lot of great stories like that one. There's a reason I was asked to leave Minneapolis.
Thank you, Laura, for doing a set.
Yeah, that's great. Really, so everybody should
check her out.
Find Laura. Laura Bites, L-A-R-A,
okay.
B-I-T-Z.
So over the weekend, first of all, Alec Baldwin is going bananas now. Because James Adomian, there's this really great article James Adomian was
where
talking
he just called it.
Yeah, he
talk
called
it. Talk about naming names, man.
Yeah. And, just said, first of all, SNL is a problem with hiring openly gay, definitely openly gay men. There aren't any, as far as I know, besides Terry Sweeney. And Adomian pointed out he was hired when Lauren wasn't there. I don't know, but it was just a lot of interesting stuff. We're like, yeah, I fucking forgot about that. Which has got to be, we have like people walking through are just bored out of their minds and leaving.
Yeah, he's just going to leave. That's okay. Right. Don't.
Wait, they have to handle business? We have business people in the audience tonight that are handling business during the show. Finally, our podcast is exciting.
He's an over-the-road truck driver. He'll be back next week. Where was it? Where was the Adomian article?
I think it was on the Daily Beast.
Oh, that's right.
But
that's
he's
right.
Just, and then Alec Baldwin was chiming in and just slamming people left and right.
Was he slamming Adomian?
Oh yeah, for sure. But also people that were sticking up for Adomian, and it was interesting. It was just such a petty little thing for Baldwin to do, in my opinion.
Right, it was. You're just like, don't you have something better to do? Right. It's weird because it feels
you have three young children. It's always like, oh, I guess you do have something better to do, but you don't want to do it because his wife keeps having kids. I think they have three little kids. Like
he's like
a guy
60.
Like that should have no fucking time to be responding to.
Well, they probably have three different nannies, don't you think?
Possibly. I don't know.
That's a big thing now. Rich people, they like to get a nanny per kid. And it's real nice. You're outsourcing your child rearing.
I fucking do it in a second.
You're like, where don't I have
I'd adopt 10 kids and hire 10 nannies.
All the money
and
in
then,
the world.
This was exciting, Owen Benjamin and Anthony Jeselnik started fighting on Twitter. That was exciting. I haven't paid attention to Owen in a while, but he's become very right-wing, at least on Twitter, and kind of, saying words like that are deliberately going to trigger people just for the joy of triggering people.
Isn't he always been a bit of a button pusher, though?
I don't know. I never watched.
I've only seen him on Twitter. I don't even know who he is.
I've seen him. I've worked with him a couple times, and both times he's gone over his time, and I spent so much time being in a rage that he's blowing the light that I don't pay attention
exactly
to the song he's playing on the
watch
piano.
Watch me storm out just at the news.
Yeah. But part of me is like, I don't, whatever someone does on stage, that's their business.
It's their time.
It's their time. They have their fans. He has fans. And,
More of a button pusher than Jeselnik. That's funny.
But a different kind of, they were,
And so they were at each other.
Anthony Jeselnik blocked him, and he was...
good.
He was enraged. And
he was enraged?
Yeah.
Did he set up a new account so that he could get to Jeselnik?
I don't know. Possibly.
I was devastated when Twitter got rid of the egg, because now when people...
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a profile.
Now it's just like a silhouette of sort of a target.
Yes.
And
that's not how everyone thinks of a head.
That's how I think of it.
You think of it as something to shoot. That's interesting and nice to know. Here's the point, I was watching it like the male comics were watching all the female comics go bananas when Eliza started saying, and all the male comics were like, what's happening?
This is the best. So you got to watch a male comic on Male Comic Rage. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. I do like, but I am devastated that I can no longer just say to somebody who's trolling me, I try not to talk to eggs. Now I have to say, now I don't talk to silhouettes. I don't know how to do that on Twitter. It's weird. So I worked on it tonight, but it's brand new. I did a poll on my Twitter feed that was too long, and also on my Facebook feed that's still going because I don't know how to make it stop.
By the way, can we just go on a side thing here? I'm going to leave Facebook because of this Russia shit. You're calling it? I have to leave one of them, and Facebook seems to have broken more laws and been worse when it comes to this election and the fact that they're not being transparent. And Sheryl Sandberg is like one of the ones that encouraged them to not be transparent about the Russia stuff. I'm like furious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of them's got to go. I need one. I have to promote myself somehow. So it's got to be Twitter. I enjoy Twitter more anyway because I like tweeting jokes and stuff like that. But
I was told to quit Snapchat by
Rihanna.
Yeah.
Well, she was right.
As I was about to call, you're so glad you stopped me. Because I would have said, the music lady.
She's right.
I might not be super young, you guys. I don't know if you're...
But, okay, go ahead.
So the poll was, because I was fascinated by the idea of these sort of hack jokes about women... From the dawn of man, right? Women love to shop. Women go to the bathroom together. Women, and I was trying to think of other ones. And I think that there's something there is it too meta to talk about like these are these hack premises that then I want to try to find the funny in them. But the setup, I think I was working on it earlier.
Too much
info.
Yeah, it's too, and other there's new audiences to comedy that don't know their hack premises yet. You know, they just want to hear your jokes.
It's not my problem. But they don't understand the history of stand-up comedy.
I know, but
they instinctively know. I worked with J.J. Walker.
It's useless information. The setup doesn't get you anything.
Fair enough.
It just weighs it down a little bit, and then I think it lessens your first laugh because it takes too long to get to it.
But if I just do a women like to shop thing, then the people who do know that it's a hack premise are like, why is she doing that hack premise?
Well, then you answer it with a clever punchline.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
I mean,
just write a funny joke.
Yeah.
I don't think you're wrong. I think you're right. I think
yeah.
I think
the joke will do the work for you.
The joke will do the work for me. Okay. Make a note.
What are you working so hard for? But if you were going to do a string of stuff like that, then maybe if you did a woman shopping a really good joke.
Yep.
You wrote that down, right?
Right.
And then
noted.
Then go, it's been a hacky topic. And then you can introduce it that way. Like do one first and then go, but there's, why are you interested in breaking down hacky topics anyway?
Just because I heard a hack.
And now you want to take him apart?
And now I kind of want to, yes, I am.
There's no
like
better motivation than want to take apart some other comic.
Exactly. I just want to eviscerate some fucking...
If they're doing material on something and it's bad and you just want to go, oh, I'll show you how to do a joke on that topic.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that is exactly the...
Yeah, it's intellectual revenge.
Yes. I am not a shining example of personhood.
No, that's what everyone does, I think, you know?
Well, you and me.
Well, I wonder how many people that are doing comedy now are doing it because they saw someone who wasn't very good and was like, oh, I can do better than that.
Well, I can at least do that.
Who sees Brian Regan and go and says, oh, I could do that?
Right.
But only a fucking unfunny asshole, right?
Right.
You have to be motivated by somebody who shows you the way or shows you, wow, even a hack could do this. Well, I could do it. You know, you need like a lesser person to actually.
Yeah, there's nothing more painful to me than when audiences leave and go, that was stand up. And you're like, nope, no, it was not.
Oh, when they're laughing.
Laughing, and I'm like, I don't want you to think that was stand up because that was brutal.
That's why we shouldn't hate those comics that never quit and they're not that good. Because they
disagree.
No, but they're inspiring really good people to get in.
They are inspiring, yes. They're inspiring at least people to try. Because if you try to do stand-up comedy, you know almost immediately if you want to do stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's a pain in the ass. And so you're like, no, the reward I'm getting for doing this is greater than the fact that I have to hang out with in a smoky, dank bar and possibly indulge in stupid repartee with goofballs. But
wow, what a horrible grim life you've outlined for many of our listeners.
I don't know if you know much about the first 4 years of stand-up. I know you're looking back on it.
I had fun, though. There's a lot of times I had fun. There was a lot of really great comic. I think every scene that you have a bunch of friends that you just come up together and
sure,
you have a lot of fun with them.
Yeah, I mean, there were some great hanging out times, but
the hard part is moving to a new city when you're established in one city,
right?
Because then everyone treats you like an open micer until they see you, but they don't see you until you've been doing it for 6 months because they don't pay attention to you,
right?
And that's actually much more brutal. You know?
It is brutal, and it has driven more people from Los Angeles than not.
Away from LA, you mean?
Yeah, which is I've had more like some of the when I moved here, the guys who came after me were in the same generation or the next generation down stand up wise. They were like, I don't want to go do these open mics, and I was like, okay, first of all, Largo isn't an open mic. That is a very fancy, hard to get booked on show, and they're like, but they're not paying anyone, and I was like. It's like, well, then why can't I get on that really cool, the cool kids show? And I was like, because nobody knows you're funny. You are funny, but you have to reinvent the wheel to some extent.
Yeah.
And you have to not get bitter in those first 6 months. You just have to show up and prove that you're funny over and over again until the people who book all of the kind of showcasey rooms see you. And then you get to go up, hopefully.
Yeah, I also think that's a benefit of being a female comic is you're used to being treated like shit. So that when you move to a new town, you're like, oh, this again.
Right.
I've done this before.
Right.
And I think a lot of male comics are like, oh, what?
Right.
You've never heard of me.
This is shocking.
But I'm a feature in my hometown. They can't handle it.
I know.
What are you writing? You're crossing things out?
Well, I've talked about some of these items. Mm. And I'm going to Vermont on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. This will have been done with Vermont. And then next week I'm going back to Phoenix for the Bird Fest. I'm doing a comedy festival. Not the weekend that this comes out. The week that this comes out, I'll be going back to Phoenix to do the Bird Comedy Festival.
That sounds fun.
And I'm doing something called Boast Rattle. Boast. It's like roast battle, but it's a compliment off. And I'm much more, I think that I should be encouraged to not do a roast battle, is what I think. I think I should be encouraged not to make fun of people for whatever shortcoming they may or may not have perceived.
So, I know, I'm on the fence. I mean, I love a good roast joke.
Do you?
They punch down, they're fucking mean as hell. I mean, it feels good in a bad way.
I can't watch him.
It's like,
I
you
can't.
Said that? Oh, man. We never talk about that in front of him.
I know. I like roast battle jokes actually secondhand. It's sort of like Howard Stern.
Yeah.
I like to hear about it. I'm not on a dare when I sit through a Howard Stern taping. Like, I wouldn't listen to Howard Stern, but when somebody tells me something Howard Stern said, I was like, oh, that's funny.
You don't like Howard Stern?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
He doesn't care. He's
he might care very much.
Howard, you're a little mean.
Okay.
And there's too many noodly ladies on your radio show.
No, he's different. He's a lot different now.
Is he different?
It's a lot.
Has he changed?
Yeah. My God. Has he changed? I'm like, you're so mean. People grow artistically, Jackie. It's not
Howard
just
Stern.
You.
Oh, no, I'm the only one growing. Artistically. It's hard to be me. How is he much better?
His interview. I mean, he has the Whack Pack. So if you like that, you like it. If you don't, you don't.
What is that?
It's his crew of goofy people that he kind of,
right,
hangs out with, but he does great interviews. His interviews are really awesome. All right, fine. I'm not.
No, you want to sell the? It's is anybody else that I don't like secretly great that I like? Bill Maher, is he amazing too? Is he great? I don't like Bill Maher.
What do you want from me right now?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, I like Howard Stern.
No, well, I've never been able. No, and the thing is people love Howard Stern. They've loved him for 30 years, right? Yeah. And I don't mind Howard Stern secondhand. I don't even
that
mind Bill Maher secondhand. But secondhand by just is like Howard Stern said
someone
a funny
else
thing.
Replicating an hour-long interview.
No, you're someone fine else with. Telling me the one funny thing that Howard Stern said in an hour.
All right.
That's what I like.
I don't want to be in this conversation anymore.
it's not that Howard Stern isn't funny and that people don't really like it. It's just that I don't want, there's a lot of chaff, in my opinion, that I would have to sit through to get to the funny.
Unlike this podcast, which is solid gold.
Just 1 hour of gold, you guys. No, the thing is I'm willing to create chaff for days. I am unwilling to sit through chaff.
Maher. So,
but I am looking forward to Vermont this weekend, which will be over when this goes up. But because I have Joelle Johnson featuring for me.
Oh, that's nice. She just did Seth.
Seth.
Yeah.
She did the Seth show, and it was great. She freaking nailed it. It was awesome.
I will be in San Francisco this weekend at the Punchline, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please come out.
Please come out. And are you doing City
it's
Lights,
my hometown,
too?
Basically.
Are you going to go to City Lights and do a signing? Or
no, I wasn't able to connect with anybody.
Fair enough. Fair
whatever.
Enough.
You know, signings don't sell a ton of books, I've noticed.
Right.
I'm at Powell's this weekend. We'll see. But someone else told me they were at Powell's, and it was filled, and the reading went well, and she sold 2 books.
Oh, shit.
And sometimes people just show up at book readings and they're not going to buy a book and they don't know anything about the book. And it's like their version of a live free show.
Oh.
They don't want to pay $20 afterwards for the show they just saw for free, I guess.
Fair enough.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to start. I mean, it would have been nice.
Yeah.
You're in my fucking hometown.
Exactly. Come on out.
It's, guess what? It's classic that it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it is.
It is
your
the way
friend
it is.
Takes a big shit on you all the time.
Right. It's like you're like Jesus. Your miracles don't work in your hometown. Remember how Jesus' miracles didn't work in Nazareth?
Wasn't his hometown Bethlehem?
No. No, he grew up in Nazareth. You're familiar with Jesus. Did anybody read The Lamb of God? No, that's a weird reference.
Wasn't he born in Bethlehem in a manger? That's what I was told.
Yeah, but he didn't grow up in Bethlehem. He was born there in a manger.
How old was he when he moved?
Well, I think he went by himself and he started a small carpentry business in Nazareth.
You're talking
Nazareth.
In his early 30s.
And
so
then, well,
he spent
in his
from
30s,
zero
he was
to
in
32
India.
In Bethlehem. That's his hometown. And he definitely sold out a book reading there.
Which book? The Torah? Boom. And Elijah left. Okay, so empty chair.
I thought you knew every audience member's name, and he happened to be named after a prophet. I was like, wow, you got lucky on that riff.
I love getting lucky on a riff.
That's the best.
How long's it been?
It's been... I think we have like 10 more minutes, right? Something like that, 12
hey, Chris,
more minutes.
How long we've been? Any idea where we're at?
Oh, he's not here. Please yell at the sound guy. That's what you do.
We've got about 12 left.
Please.
It's my MO now.
Him.
Chris is the sound guy here at Flappers. If I could just somehow make him apologize to me for my own jackassery.
I was at 23 and we got here around 36. So, you know, that's 13 minutes if I've done my math correctly.
You have. What do you got? You got anything? See how empty this is? This is, I'm done.
You're done talking?
No, I've used all my notes.
All your notes?
Yeah, I got, those are all the excite. Okay, so Genevieve Rives was very funny at
right.
Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Kurt Fletcher featured. I got to see some of his set.
Your sister almost came to see me.
Right. My sister almost came to see you in New York. Well, I got text messages from you.
She was like texting or DMing, I forget, or both, and it was kind of confusing me because I didn't know her Twitter handle was her that I who had saved on my text, or I wasn't putting it together.
Okay.
And then I guess I thought she was going to come to QED, but she went to the stand.
She went to the stand and saw Nikki Glaser.
Nikki Glaser was there, and Ida Rodriguez.
And some
other funny people.
Yeah, she liked both of them
a
lot, actually.
Yeah.
And so that was neat. But I thought when you texted me, I thought you were already in Portland. And I was like, my sister's in Portland? And it was a great story.
I thought you had another sister too. I was like,
I just got the one sister. I got four brothers.
Yes,
I like two of them.
But they all listen to the podcast.
They all listen to the podcast. No, they don't. I don't know. No, I don't dislike the other two. The other two are just harder. One's almost impossible to get a hold of, and the other one's impossible to get rid of. Mm. Once I'm talking to him on the phone, he's very chatty Magoo.
I think in Portland, I'm going to stay in a hotel on Friday night.
Good.
Flying a Friday night, and then I'm doing some public radio at noon on Saturday.
Excellent.
And then...
you're doing Curious, right?
Yes, I'm doing Curious at 7:30.
Curious,
and then Powell's at 5 p.m. the next day. If I sell three books, I'll consider it a win.
Nice. I heard that I was wrong last week about who is booking Harvey's.
Again? Is it a Barry again?
It is. I thought it was Barry Neal, and then it was Pat Wilson, and now it's the new owner guy.
It's not Barry Collin, the owner?
I don't know who. I thought it was a guy named Howard. So what I've got is even less information than you might have.
The names Howard and Barry are overrepresented in comedy club ownership.
They really are. They really are.
There's a few too many Howards.
There's a lot of Howards who want to buy clubs.
To do with Stern. There's a Howard in Scottsdale, and then
that's
this
closed.
Howard. Oh, it is?
Stand-up Scottsdale is closed.
Okay, yep. So there's just one Howard, and it's okay then.
But he's thinking about regrouping and opening up again, and he's friends with Tom.
I like these guys that open these pop-up comedy clubs for 8 months until the IRS finds them. then they just leave and regroup.
Right.
Not that he did that. Please don't.
Right, or Bill Kinison did that. Bill Kinison had that club in Madison, Wisconsin in 84.
Did he
for
die?
For just a year. Bill, no. Sam did, of course.
I know.
But Bill, I think Bill had all of his blood replaced, and he's, no, I don't know. He's a vampire.
I see.
I still have the first check I ever got was a $10 check from Bill Kinison, and I Xeroxed it. By the way, not mimeograph. Xerox.
Did you cash the check?
Oh, I cash a check at all times.
And did you use it to buy one share of Apple that's now worth $10,000?
No, I think I bought 10 shots of something in a college town where shots were a dollar. And then something horrible happened, I'm sure. No, so. But yeah. So you're going to be in San Francisco at Punchline when the week that this goes up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be back in Phoenix at that comedy festival. I'm also doing a Paul Goebel, a Full House, like a live rendition of Full House that I don't know what that is. I've never watched the TV show. And I was like, why do you want me on this show? I've never seen the show. And he said, I think it would be funny. And I was like, funny good or funny? Are you laughing at me? Because that's what I think it's good. I think it will be... And like watching
so
dance.
Do you have to put extra? Do you have to put extra work into it?
I told him I would not.
that's what I do. Someone, People have these really cool ideas for shows, but they require hours of prep time that you can never use again. Like, no joke you write for that show can ever be replicated.
My Full House chunk is never going to be of any use to anyone.
It's too heartbreaking.
Right, all that work is... and I've written two panels of the comic book that they want me to read. So,
oh, cool.
Two panels. I have a shitty first draft of two panels. You know that there are six panels per page, and I'm writing an eight-page comic book. I might want to start the next four panels. How about that? And,
sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm looking forward to it. But I'm looking forward to... And then I'm home for 2 weeks after San Francisco, after Phoenix. And
little Chinese finger trap with the husband?
Sure, I might do a little Chinese finger trap. I can only hope. I will try my best to flirt with him. Would you be interested, I would say, in indulging in a little marital relations? We're all sanctioned by God and the government. Let's do this. I'm very romantic, is what I'm saying.
I was so happy and alone this weekend.
You were happy to be alone?
Yes. I was just sitting in my little bed.
All that sleeping?
I slept. I sat on my bed. I looked out the window. I watched people. I was watching them walking angrily to wherever they were going, you know, because I'm like, oh, that's usually me. And when it's not me, I just love to watch other people on their way to their spots or on their way to the grocery store. And I was like all wrapped up.
And you're I'm not going anywhere.
Had some hot chocolate. All I want is hot chocolate now in comedy clubs. That's my preferred drink.
All right. Don't forget to tip the waitstaff, by the way. Not a hobby. So,
oh my God, we have six more minutes.
Really?
I think so.
All right. Are you working on anything new? You had that first joke that you did tonight was brand new.
It is new, but it's like
it's a good one.
Everyone's gonna have an Uber. Somebody thought I was an Uber joke.
Right. What I liked about yours was that it was funny. It was one of my favorite things about it, was that it was had a great punchline that I had not heard, and I had not not heard that it was sharp. It was great. It was a classic.
Oh my shit.
Oh, look at you guys,
for God's sake. Yeah. So. But I didn't realize that till I was at UNCAB and Beth got up and started saying the same thing happened to her. I'm like, oh no, she's gonna think I copied her. So I did my joke just to say, hey, just so you know, I didn't just write this on the fly.
Oh, I know. I love to always make sure. I try to get the joke out first.
Yeah.
Right? And just to make sure everybody knows that I'm not. But there's a zeitgeist. You know,
people don't. And people aren't, I don't know. People aren't keeping track of it. We think everyone's tracking our every jokes.
Yeah. We're the only one tracking our jokes. I know. Nobody cares enough to think about us.
Like, I was like, oh, these people have already seen me. And they probably fucking have it. And half of them don't even know what's happening right now. They're like, why are the comedians sitting down? We came for Jeff Garlin. Why are these two waitresses talking on stage?
Oh my God, why don't I have my fries?
I've been trying to order for an hour.
you were running a little late, and I was like, I went and I looked at the bar to see if there was an open mic.
Yeah.
Then I went to the Yoo-Hoo to see if you had like strong-armed your way into the show there. And I did. Before we went up, we got a tweet someone heard you saying that our core demographic was at open mic.
Yeah.
And it was a tweet from this woman going, I'm actually in the other room. I'm running the open mic in the in the small room if you want to come and do a set afterwards.
Ah, that's great.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I kind of did.
Yeah, but what if it's these guys? It'll be the same thing then.
Well,
you guys have to leave. We won't perform.
I think it'll be fine. They're leaving. Don't think they're staying. They're fine. I have like two live Dork Forests coming up. I'm doing a live Dork Forest in Vermont. Mm-hmm. Then the guy Nathan was like, "Would you want to do it?" And I was like, "Sure." I mean, I don't know. And then he got me a local Dork Luminary. And then I'm doing one at Moon Tower because you can't make it till Saturday. So we're going to do a live Jackie Laurie.
Again, bring up my fucking failure. Thank you. Let me tell you something, though.
You're going to stab me with that pen?
I always think when we start talking about another podcast on a podcast, we've really run out of things to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. The rest of my career is uninteresting to you. So somebody said to me, but they made some crack about the Dork Forest about how it was just a couple of years in, and I was like, no, I've been not making money for decades. It's amazing.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say I have an ad this week on the on the Dork Forest for a Casper mattress, and I didn't get a free one. I was like,
it's not right.
I want a free mattress.
I do too.
Yeah. I hear they're good.
I bought one for my son. They're awesome.
Oh, there you go.
This is my travel outfit, by the way.
Right, all black.
It's a long skirt.
Yeah.
This is how I sit in JetBlue for 6 hours at a time.
Not a middle really comfy seat, though. Not a middle
no,
seat.
No, I always get an aisle.
Okay.
Yeah, I wear this every single time I fly because it's not restrictive.
I always get a window because I always think I'm going to sleep.
You have less room because that fucking plane is curving in on you. It's taking like probably 2 square feet away from your room.
Sometimes
always
I forget that you're good at math.
I'm not. I'm good at personal space. I want what
you're
little I have.
You're judging circumference, and but don't the aisle. I always don't you. Doesn't your arm get banged?
No.
You know, I like to cuddle up against the side of the.
What are you doing? Are you sitting like this in a plane?
I like to man spread.
You got your armrest right there.
No. I cuddle up against the side of the plane,
mm-hmm.
and I always give the middle person the aisle.
Now, fuck them. Take your stance.
I would take half.
You take your.
At the most, I would take half of the middle of the armrest. But
we got the light.
Yeah.
I've got a new jolt of energy. The end is near.
The end is nigh. At the very most, I always feel bad for the person in the middle. I'm like, I know that they've poorly planned their lives.
Yeah. Well,
and they're last minute travelers, but I have some.
You feel bad because someone's going to learn a lesson about picking their seat.
I don't know. Like, I genuinely, there's part of me that doesn't want to fly if I'm stuck in a middle seat.
I love
it
when it's a guy. And,
oh, do you?
Yeah, and there's two women that have the comfy seats, and he's like,
and he's 6'4".
He can't believe it. Yeah, I can't believe that he's being inconvenienced.
Well, that seems incredibly cruel. But whatever you need to do to make it through your flight, which is a red eye often, which is always amazing that you would take such a thing.
That's awful.
And so I am psyched. I'm gonna take an afternoon flight out of LAX tomorrow through JFK to Vermont, and then I'm going to sleep all day and all night. And then I'm going to do a nice show with Joy L. Johnson, Vermont. And
The sleeping is as exciting as the shows for me. The nonstop, there's no interruption.
Right, the
no
solo
accountability
time.
To anybody. Yeah. Just wake up in time for the show. That is half the reason I want to be on the road now.
Right, well, how is your family? Hey, it's been an hour, you guys. that was him telling us it's been an hour.
Okay, all right, yeah.
All right.
So, bye.
Thank you guys so much for coming out.
I'll be selling books if anyone wants to buy one.
I brought Jackie and Laurie posters if you guys want them. They're $10 and we'll sign them if you want.
It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.